Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
All right, that's good. The Oilers Now injury report at 4:33 in Edmonton. It's brought to you by James H. Brown and your lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Trent Brown, Jim Brown, proud supporters of the Edmonton Oilers, the Edmonton Elks, and the U of A Golden Bears, where Trent was one of the best football players the last 50 years at a Bears program, would later go on to be a two-time CFL All-Star. Connor McDavid, we're going to call him out for tonight's game. Closing in on a potential return, might play as early as against Vancouver tomorrow night. Meanwhile, Travis Boyd not available, torn pectoral for the Arizona Coyotes. He's missed a bunch of games. Barrett Hayton, who had a big year last year, out with a lower body issue. And Nick Bjugstad, who's got 22 goals this season in Arizona. He's had a good year, played for the Oilers last year as well. He is not available for tonight's game. We head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, and welcome back to the show, Edmonton sporting icon George LaRocque on Throwback Friday, brought to you by Conlon Motorsports. They'll help you get out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports, four locations across Alberta, or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. Hello, George. How you doing?
Very good, Bob. How's everything?
Well, it's good. The story has seemingly appears as though it's on the precipice of, at least in the short term, coming to an end with the Arizona Coyotes. It seems like they've been hanging on for a decade plus. You played there briefly a number of years ago. Are you surprised they've been able to ride it out this long?
You know, I feel bad for Quebec because I remember when I was there, there's nobody in the stands and it was sad and nobody, even the players, there was no atmosphere. And as a fighter, there's no energy in the crowd, right?
Yes.
So they always said that Quebec, like, that was waiting for a team, the closest team and, you know, the best chance they had was with the Coyotes. And you know, they keep sending government to talk to Gary Bettman, the last chance to get a team to come to Quebec. And now what's going on, which is bad, is the fact that they weren't even mentioned about the fact that now they're going to move to Salt Lake City. So people were like, you know, what's going on? Like, we have this rink like the NHL asked for, and now it doesn't look like they're going to have a chance anytime soon. So it's sad. But, you know, there's nothing that they could do about it. That's the way it is, and that's it. You know,
George, it's interesting. This may be one of the rare times that any listener on this show would hear Bob Stauffer say, I feel a bit bad for Quebec, too, because I think Quebec City could support an NHL team. I didn't love how they got the funding before Rogers Place was built. They got $200 million from the province and $200 million from the municipal government in Quebec City to build that rink. Well, you know where the province gets their money from, in part, is from equalization payments. You know how that works. You and me have had this conversation before, but I 100% agree with you. Quebec City could absolutely support an NHL team. I don't debate that for a second. So I do feel bad for Quebec. You know what part of it is with Quebec? Do you think the Montreal Canadiens really want Quebec there?
Well, the Montreal Canadiens, it's so big that it won't even hurt them. They have like 10,000 people on the waiting list for season tickets. So people often, they say that, but no, it won't hurt them. Just like if there was another team in Toronto, like Hamilton, when it was close to happen a couple years ago, you're not going to hurt those markets. Montreal is too big. You know, they're huge. And I think it would actually be fun and it would work this time. But I just don't know, though, if Quebec could afford to buy a franchise because the price is so high right now.
Yeah.
When they were interested to buy a team, as you know, the dollar, U.S. and Canadian, was par. It's no longer anymore. And, you know, year after year, the franchise is more and more expensive. So I think now it's going to be out of their range. The only chance they had is if Phoenix moved to Quebec, but now I don't know how they're going to do it.
So tell me, George, you left, you were with the Oilers and you signed with the Arizona or the Phoenix Coyotes, and then they came to you in March of your first year and said, George, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to Pittsburgh?
So this is what happened. First of all, I only signed in Phoenix because the Oilers didn't want me anymore.
Because
I wanted to stay there. I wanted to spend all my career in Edmonton, as you know.
Yes, I know.
And
yes.
I don't know if you remember, that day before I left, I did a 9-hour autograph session with the fans. You know, so I just want to make it clear. I didn't go there because it's Phoenix because I wanted to. It was weird to go to Phoenix after playing Edmonton when their fans were passionate. They paint their face. They come to the game. They scream. They yell. And you go to Phoenix, you can hear a fly while we're playing games. So close to the deadline, I told the team I didn't want to be there anymore. I wanted to be traded because I had a no-move clause. And I was like, man, I cannot stay there. This is we were out of the playoff in December. And we had an attitude of a country club, like a country club that was winning all the games when we were out. It was boring. I didn't like it. So when I asked to be traded, that's when, you know, I had a choice between Pittsburgh and Calgary. And
there you go. You did not enjoy your time in Arizona.
No, it was not good. You know, a lot of guys like playing golf and maybe work on their tanning. I didn't need to work on my tanning. I'm tan enough. And I hate golf. It's too boring. So I was like, nope, this is not for me.
I'm not as tanned as you, but I also, George, as you know, I hate golf.
Let me give you a quick story about Phoenix. This is a funny one. When I played in Phoenix, everybody wanted to come and visit. Everybody. You know, in Edmonton, it's too cold in the summer. In the winter, people didn't want to. But in Phoenix, everybody came. And you know what happened? When people came to see me play in Phoenix, I stayed in Scottsdale. Nobody would even come see me play. They were staying in Scottsdale. They're like, the rink is too far. There's nobody there. It's boring. So nobody even cared to go to the game. They just wanted to be on vacation in Phoenix.
Yeah.
That's how sad playing in Phoenix was.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you think there are players that have signed with Arizona? Like, we're hearing that the players feel a little bit let down and a little bit that things weren't completely on the up and up because they're far down the path here with Salt Lake. Do you think there's guys that aren't going to want to go to Salt Lake that are in the Arizona right now because they like the lifestyle? Like, not every guy is like you.
Actually,
you love the fans. You love the juice. I'm the same way. I want to go where the game matters. I love everything about going to Montreal except the politics in Quebec. You know that. I get mad when the Oilers don't bring it when they go to Montreal because it's so awesome in the building at the Bell Center. We've had this discussion. You know what? You go to Arizona, I'm like, oh, man. Now, in the new
Bob,
you know
Bob, watch this. Watch this, Bob. I've talked to a few guys that play for the Coyotes. It's an embarrassment, the fact they play in front of 4,000 people. They don't like it. The thing, though, with Salt Lake City, it's actually giving them mental problems, like mental health problems. I'll tell you why. They have houses there. Their family's there. Some of the parents have moved to Phoenix to actually see their sons play, which is crazy because I didn't know that still happened, but some parents are moving there. And now, if they go to Salt Lake, they move there, what happened to their house? You know the economy, the way that it is. Are they going to be able to sell their house to move down there? What happened to all their family? Move everything down there, you know? It's not easy. You know, even though, because people are established there and stuff, so it's not fun for them. That's why it's so sad about the fact that, you know, you're in a team and you have to move somewhere else and you have family involved and stuff like that. So it's not easy. What's going to happen? But you know what? This whole thing in Phoenix was a gun show. So that's why they had to do something about it. They find a way to solve it, which is good, and that's what they had to do.
I can't believe I actually said I feel bad for Quebec on this show. Anyhow, we have George LaRocque with us, Edmonton sporting icon for Conlon Motorsports. So, George, the Edmonton Oilers, they had a bad game in Dallas about a week ago, right? They got beat by the Stars quite handily, 5-0. Since then, they've beaten Colorado 6-2. We had you on the show last Friday before they beat Colorado. They didn't play great in Calgary, but they got the win. McDavid, you know, didn't play much in the final 6 minutes. Did not play the other night against Vegas. And they took it to Vegas pretty good. They beat them 5-1. What are your thoughts on where the Edmonton Oilers are at right now? How good of a team do you think they have?
Yeah, the Oilers right now are amazing. The win that they had against Vegas without McDavid was amazing because what they did there, they did a statement to show the whole league how much deep this team is. And that's important because, you know, you want to show everybody that this team is deep and then they could win without Connor. And I thought it was a statement win, what they did there and stuff. And now it gets like a chance to Connor to rest more against Phoenix and to play for the division, you know, against Vancouver tomorrow. So that was perfect. I love to see that because this team looks more serious, and what I like more is they're getting revved up for the playoff. Like, you know, they said it this year, they no longer are playing for, to get, you know, to get staff, to get other trophies and stuff like this. they're playing because they want to get the big trophy at the end and they want to get ready for playoffs. So now, and you know, it's funny. Last time we talked, last week when we talked, Bob, I told you, I want Connor to rest. I want him to rest. I don't want him to play too much. I want him to, like, settle down for the playoffs. So I know that he could play right now if he wants to and stuff, but wait till you're 100%. Don't play. And even against the Canucks, I know the Oilers want the division, but you know what? Don't rush him into anything unless you're not 100%. You know, you have nothing to prove to anyone. You're the best player in the world. And I think that this year there's something different with this team. But, Bob, like, with the past, what happened last year, they hated what happened against Vegas, and they're more ready than ever to do a long playoff run.
George, I want to ask you about a couple of the guys, including a guy that there's not a lot of guys left that you played with. But you played with Sidney Crosby. You played on Sidney's team. Can you believe how good he still is?
You know, Bob, and you know when you said you're sad about Quebec? I was so sad about Crosby. He's having one of the best seasons in his career, and he's getting older. And to see him, like, missing the playoff again for a second year in a row, it was so sad to look at that. I was like, he's such a leader. And then they traded Ganzo, and it looked like this team was not going to go anywhere again. He turns things around, and it looks like the Penguin might get in, and that is so awesome. That guy, loyalty to the Penguin is amazing. He, even though they were doing so bad, he was like, no, I'm not going anywhere. I want to stay there. I want to be a Penguins all my life like Mario was. It is amazing his commitment he has to this team and how he was able to turn things around, because I think everybody wants to see Sids in the playoff. I don't think the Penguins are going to go anywhere because, you know, their D cannot play D and they have no goalie. But it's okay. If they make the postseason because of a remarkable season that Crosby has, it's remarkable. It shows, again, his leadership.
All right, so here's the difference, George. Like, you watch Connor, and he's so fast and so skilled and capable of doing stuff. It's almost obscene what he can do. Like, he is the most advanced player, in my opinion, that we've never seen a guy this fast, this good. Crosby does it differently. Like, he's a really good player, but you watch how hard he practices. Is there any way you could perhaps educate our listeners as to how unique of a guy he is?
Well, you know, okay, if I want to compare both players, let's say, right? Like, if I talk about Crosby, when I was there, he was the first guy on the ice, last guy off the ice, and he worked, like, there was no optional in Pittsburgh because he was always on the ice for optional, and if the best player on the ice, which he was back then, we all had to be on for optional. So optional didn't exist because Crosby was always working on his game. It's amazing. It's crazy. But the thing with McDavid, though, it's his speed, because McDavid has the speed, which we've seen fast player in the league, but they couldn't handle the puck that the way McDavid does with his speed. Like, we've seen many fast players, but McDavid does things at a million miles an hour, which I've never seen that before. Crosby never skated like McDavid does. And actually, the thing is, I can't even tell you that Crosby had a better vision than McDavid, because it's the same. In terms of vision and thinking the game, you'd be intelligent. They're the same. It's just that what difference McDavid from Crosby is his speed.
Yeah.
Because nobody skated like that. And you're not supposed to handle the puck with the speed that he has. He does stuff like with my PlayStation, I could do it if I push L1 and L2. I could do what McDavid does. Not on the ice. It's impossible. That's why when I look at that, you're the D out there. You don't know what to do, because obviously you can't hit him because he's going to burn you. Yeah, like, and he could turn on a dime so fast, which is so impressive. And that's why, like,
and he works, you know, hard in practice, George. He's often the first forward on the ice in practices, and he leads
every
drill.
Let me tell you a little story. Brassard was telling me about McDavid, about how impressive that he was. Brassard used to pick up McDavid when they go on the road. And when he would go pick him up, with McDavid would be in his garage shooting pucks. He'd be shooting pucks before going on the plane in the garage. Why would Connor McDavid shooting pucks before going on the road trip, wearing his suit and stuff, while he was waiting for Brassard to pick him up before they go? Because the best player in the world, he wants to be the best and always better. He wants to get better. Being the best is not enough. He wants to be another level. Well, that's what he is. You know, people always talk about work ethic. What do you have to do to be the best? even the best strive to be the best by working so hard. And that's why he's so amazing. And that's why every year he's going to be voting by his pair for being the best player in the NHL. And do not talk to you about McKinnon. McKinnon is playing with Renton and he's playing with Makar, which Makar is not a D-man, he's a forward. If McDavid was playing with players like that, he would have 200 points.
Wow. There we go. George bringing it today. Love it, big man. Thanks for joining us on Oilers Now.
Anytime, brother.
That is George LaRocque. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Well, that's it. That's good. Okay, this text comes in from, is he going with, what's the handle? I can't tell if his handle's Kevin or Glenn. Bub Stauffer, you're full of crap. It's Quebec-type politics that keep you your job. Entitled little babies, ha, ha, ha. Where else can you show up for 75% of your shifts and still be employed? I think he's inferring that I'm not there to host the show every day. Well, we do travel sometimes, and we do have events at night and that sort of thing. But, you know, I do tend to do about 200 shows a year and all 90 broadcasts, which I'm privileged to do. I know that. But thank you. Thank you for keeping me on it. Are you saying that people in Quebec are entitled? Is that what I'm inferring from that? Okay. Anyhow, Hattrick and Provost says, Bob, please, enough of the comparing the Coyotes' attendance to the Oil Kings. Yes, you're right. It's not fair to the Oil Kings, who averaged 10,874 in their final eight games of the year. We got lots to get to when we return, including... Oh, yeah, we're gonna do it just for fun. We'll go to Oilers Now. Trivia when we come back. It's 4:49 in Edmonton. You're listening to Oilers Now. It's been a while since we've heard from our next texter on the Ashley Fine Flores text line. The Chiseler, a.k.a. a voice from the past, Texas at 4:54 in Edmonton, and says, rumor has it, Bob, you're in your garage on a daily basis hitting golf balls. Any truth to that? Bob Mickelson? No. That is not true. I like grinders, not golfers, myself. Just for what it's worth, you know? Take it for what it's worth. That's kind of where I'm at. But that's an awesome text. We're going to enter it to win the Text of the Week draw, where winners receive 3 months of washes at my favorite car wash, Great White Car Wash. 169th Street. We had George LaRocque on the show Throwback Friday for Conlon Motorsports. They'll help you get out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' four locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. And we've got Frank Cervelli coming up for horse racing in Alberta, but George LaRocque was our Oilers Now headliner for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. That's Trent Wilhauk and the gang at Wilhauk Beef Jerky. You're invited to join us with New West Travel on an Avalon River cruise next March. You will explore Southeast Asia, discover Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand. A 19-day tour includes a 7-night river cruise with gourmet meals, fine wines, and daily tours. You'll be immersed in the cultures and ancient traditions as you sightsee and spend time in some of the most fascinating places along the mighty Mekong River. Book by May the 31st for our Avalon River cruise next March with New West Travel. Save up to $1,300. Better get the right zero there. $1,300 you can save up to per person if you book by May 31st. For full details, contact newwesttravel.com. Okay. The question I've got to ask here is, how tough should I make it? Here's how you enter in our Oilers Game Day Trivia Contest presented by Pro-Am Sports, your fan cave specialist. All correct answers this month enter to win an autographed Stuart Skinner jersey from Pro-Am Sports. I think Pro-Am Sports just completed the Stuart Skinner signing here in the last 72 hours or so. Visit them online or in Edmonton on St. Albert Trail. That's Pro-Am Sports. The question, it's a little bit, you know what? It's going to test your recent knowledge, and I'm going to give you a hint. Of course, we mentioned that Nick Bjugstad was with the Edmonton Oilers last season. He re-signed a 2-year deal in Arizona at $2 million. The Oilers couldn't afford that price point given their limited cap flexibility. Which current Coyotes defenseman drafted by the Edmonton Oilers was traded to Arizona for Nick Bjugstad? And here's the hint. Alberta-based business guy Bruce Kerlock from Oilers Nation was begging Edmonton not to trade this guy in the deal. Said there's an NHL D there. Well, this player has 5 goals, 18 points in 62 games, plus 11 in 64 minutes in the penalties. Plus 11 on a team with a minus 23 goal differential, not bad. Which current Arizona defenseman, drafted by the Edmonton Oilers, was sent by Edmonton to Arizona for Nick Bjugstad last year at the deadline. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. We'll head off to a global news, weather, traffic update. She's a graduate of Brigham Young University, which means that when Salt Lake City gets the NHL team, she's Woo-hoo! In line. Is it true you were in line, Eileen?
I will definitely be in line.
To be the next PR director of...
No.
But you're going to go to some games.
That's
now.
That's too long a commute from working here.
But you would go down for a road trip or two, right?
Absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
Let me just ask, can you drink in Salt Lake?
Water, milkshakes, you bet.
Well, can you put Baileys in the milkshakes? Can you have scotch?
For personally, I can't. My religious rules still stand. But other people, I do believe, drink alcohol in Salt Lake. It's not a dry city by far. It's not even half Mormon anymore.
Okay.
More than half the population is not.
Do you think this is going to work in Salt Lake?
Well, the Jazz sure caught on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And Utah is a winter place, right? So I think it's got that over Phoenix. Like, people actually do skate.
2 years? 3 years?
Six or seven.
6 or 7 years you lived there.
I dragged my university out, because that's where I actually got into broadcasting.
Oh, I did not know this.
Yeah, I did a good 5-year university and then didn't graduate and went back again in 2008.
Well, I was in university about that long, and I don't even have a year and a half of school done. So there you go.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Eileen.
You're welcome.
Eileen Bell up next with a global news, weather, traffic update, then Frank Saravalli for the horses.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.